Wow. What an awesome worship we've had today. I know I'm encouraged. I hope you're encouraged. That was such a blessing. I know who goes before me. I know who goes behind me. The God of angel armies, whom shall I fear? Oh, hallelujah. What a great message that was. We don't have to be afraid. So I want to welcome you to Lots of Love Ministries today. As we gather today in the precious name of Yeshua, seeking to understand more deeply our relationship with God through His Holy Spirit, as we open His Word to study vital truths about not quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit, let us prepare our hearts in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before your throne with hearts of gratitude and reverence. We thank you for your faithfulness and for the gift of your Holy Spirit, which you've placed within each believer. Lord, as we open your word today, we ask that your Spirit would shed light on these scriptures and give us understanding. Father, we acknowledge that we cannot comprehend these spiritual truths without your Spirit teaching us. As it is written, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Open our spiritual eyes, Lord. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to the church today. Remove any distractions, any preconceptions, any barriers that would hinder us from receiving your truth. Let your word penetrate deeply into our hearts and transform our understanding. Yeshua, we thank you for the promise that when we seek you, we will find you. When we search for you with all of our hearts, may your Spirit guide us into all truth today, just as you promised. We pray this in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. Beloved, today we're going to examine a profound truth about our relationship with God through His Holy Spirit. I'm going to probably shake loose some false teachings or inaccurate teachings or not quite their teachings. I'm not trying to say I know better than anyone else, but sometimes we understand things differently than what the scripture is saying, and we're taught to believe certain things that is not quite there. Not that it's necessarily not the truth, but it's not the whole truth. Not that any of us will ever have the whole truth. We only see in part and know in part. I want to add some parts today that might help you see God differently than you may have been taught in the past. Scripture warns us about two specific ways we can damage our sacred relationship with the Lord Almighty, the one true God, by quenching and by grieving the Spirit. These warnings reveal the deeply personal nature of our relationship with the one true God who has revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We need to understand God's Spirit. In John chapter 4, verses 23 through 24, it says, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The Holy Spirit is not a separate entity, which is taught in a lot of Trinitarian camps, but is God's own spirit working in our lives. We understand this by rightly dividing the word of truth. and connecting the dots the Lord has given us in the Bible. Yeshua said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," in John 14:6, and later spoke of Spirit of Truth in John 16:13, when he said, "But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." He was confirming this truth in John 14:18, when he said, now listen carefully to this, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Who was being sent? John 14:26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." And again in John 15:26-27, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning." These verses tell us that the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, is being sent. And Yeshua said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Do you see that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Yeshua? Throughout Scripture, God speaks of my Spirit, expressing his very presence among his people. In Joel 2:28, God declares, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." This is the same Spirit that dwelt in Yeshua during his earthly ministry, and the same Spirit that now dwells in believers. Let me explain it so even a child can understand it. And parents, this will help you teach this message to your children. Imagine this. You have a body that everyone can see, and you also have a Spirit inside you that no one can see. But it's still you, right? Not two different people. It's just one you. God made us his way because he made us like him. Let me explain it in a fun way. Think about water. Water can be a liquid you drink, ice that you can hold, steam that you can feel in the air, but it's all still water, just showing itself in different ways. That's kind of like how God shows himself to us, as Heavenly Father, as Yeshua came to earth, as the Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts. And here's the cool part. Yeshua told his friends something really special. He said, "I won't leave you alone like orphans. I will come to you." He was talking about sending the Holy Spirit. And when we have God's Spirit in us, it's the same as having Yeshua living in our hearts. We've all been taught to ask Yeshua to come into our hearts, right? Well, when we repent and are baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit. This is what Yeshua coming into our hearts is really all about. Think about this. When Yeshua said, "I am the truth," and then talked about the Spirit of Truth, he was showing us that his Spirit and he are the same. And God made a promise to us. God promised to pour his Spirit out on his people, on all people, actually. "I will pour my Spirit out on all flesh." This doesn't mean that everybody is saved going to heaven, because you have to receive by repenting and being baptized and receiving the Holy Spirit to get saved. But even his Spirit can be poured out on unsaved people. That's a Selah right there. Let's continue with this study. When God promised to pour his Spirit out on people, this is the same Spirit that was in Yeshua when he walked on earth. And now God wants his Spirit to live in us too. John 14 really explains this whole concept. I recommend that you do a deep dive study on this chapter and allow the Spirit of Truth, the Helper, to give you revelation understanding on this. This is an important concept to grasp, especially in light of what I'm going to talk about next. Quenching the Spirit. Paul's command in 1 Thessalonians 5, 19-20, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Reveals our first dangerous tendency. To quench means to suppress or extinguish, like throwing water on a fire. We quench God's Spirit when we ignore His promptings in our daily lives, dismiss His supernatural workings, rely on human wisdom rather than the divine guidance, reject the prophetic ministry in the church. As Revelation 19:10 tells us, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When we quench prophetic utterances, we're not just silencing a human voice. We're muffling God's own testimony through His Spirit. You know how when you tell your friends about something amazing that happened to you? It's called giving your testimony. It's sharing your story. Well, when we talk about Yeshua and tell others what He has done, that's giving testimony about Him. It becomes His testimony. In the Bible, God tells us that when we share things about Yeshua, it's actually a type of prophecy. Prophecy isn't just about telling the future. It's about sharing God's messages with others. But to share God's messages, we need the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. That is why Yeshua says in John 15:26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about Me. Think of it like this. Imagine your best friends calling you to tell you something important. If you turn down the volume or turn off the phone, you can't hear what they're saying anymore, right? When we ignore or quench prophetic messages about Yeshua, it's like turning down the volume, or worse, turning off the phone, the God phone. You ever hear that song, Jesus on the Main Line? We have a direct line to Yeshua, to our Lord. But if we cut it off, we turn it off, or turn the volume down, let it be drowned out by the noise of everyday life, then we end up quenching the Holy Spirit. When someone tells us what God is saying through His Word, that's prophecy. When someone encourages us with God's promises, that's prophecy. When someone testifies to God's goodness or faithfulness, that's prophecy. Why? Because they're always sharing about Yeshua, who is God. It's God's Spirit speaking to us. It is prophesying to us about the Lord's desires for us and how He wants to keep His promises. When we know what God wants and how good and faithful He is, we can come into agreement with Him and bring that to pass in our own lives. Like I always say, the past is in the past. The future is now. How do you bring that future into the now? We come into agreement with Him. We declare and decree. We prophesy His promises, His goodness, His faithfulness. So when we ignore these messages or tell people to be quiet when they're sharing about Yeshua, we're not just telling a person to be quiet. We're actually trying to quiet God's Spirit. That's why it's so important to listen when people share what God is doing and saying. And then I want to talk about grieving the Spirit. This is found in Ephesians 4:30. The warning in Ephesians carries a different tone. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Grieving speaks to how actions affect our relationship with God. We grieve His Spirit when we live in willful disobedience, harbor bitterness and unforgiveness, engage in works of the flesh, reject His sanctifying work in our lives. I'm not going to dwell on this point. We all know about sin. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is why we repent often. We live a lifestyle of repentance. The important point is that when we quench or grieve the Holy Spirit, we're not merely breaking rules. were wounding our relationship with God himself. Yeshua revealed this intimate connection when he said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father," in John 14:9. The spirit that dwelled in Yeshua is the same spirit that dwells in believers today. This is why John writes, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his spirit." That's 1 John 4:13. God's spirit in our lives is our direct connection to him. But there is a path to restoration. If you've recognized ways you've cringed or grieved God's spirit, take heart. The very fact that you're aware of it is evidence of his continuing work in your life. When we realize we quenched or grieved God's spirit, there's a clear path back to a close relationship with him. It begins with honest acknowledgement, coming before God with a humble heart, and admitting the ways we've offended him. This isn't just saying sorry quickly or moving on. It means taking time to understand how our actions have affected our relationship with him. We have to think about how that action grieved him, why it grieved him, what it does to us and our relationship. If we have that understanding, then why wouldn't we want to truly repent, make a change? It's like with a husband and wife. If you truly love your spouse, you don't want to do things that hurt their feelings, that damage your relationship with them. You do not want to bring that relationship to an end. Amen? If you truly love them, you want to do those things that strengthen your relationship with them and allow you to grow in your relationship with each other, that preserve that relationship until death do you part. Amen? So the next step is true repentance, which means more than just feeling bad about what we've done. Repentance is about turning away from the attitudes and actions that have been suppressing God's spirit in our lives. Maybe you've been ignoring his gentle nudges, or perhaps you've been choosing your own way instead of his. Whatever it is, repentance means making a clear decision to change direction. After repentance comes recommitment, making a fresh choice to walk in step with God's Spirit. As Galatians 5:16 tells us, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." This is a daily choice, moment by moment, to follow his leading rather than our own desires. When we consistently choose to walk with his Spirit and in his Spirit, to walk in the light as he is in the light, to do his will, not our own will, we'll find ourselves naturally pulling away from the things that don't please him. Finally, we need to actively cultivate sensitivity to God's presence. Think of it like developing any other relationship. It takes time, attention, and intentional effort. We can do this through prayer, studying his word, and creating quiet moments in our busy lives to simply listen for his voice. The more we practice being aware of his presence, the more naturally we'll recognize his leading in our lives. I've heard of a practical way we can do this by setting aside a few moments periodically throughout the day to talk to him, to acknowledge him, to say thank you. Like maybe 5 minutes every hour, or even 1 minute every hour. Set a clock. You know, we all have alarms on our phones. You can set an alarm and just stop and say a quick prayer of gratitude, acknowledging him. Thank you, Lord, for helping my morning go well. Thank you for helping my afternoon go well. Thank you for this restful, peaceful evening that I'm enjoying. Or whatever it is, when you do something and accomplish a goal in your daily task, stop and say, thank you, Lord, for helping me complete that task, for meeting that goal. What's next on my agenda, Lord? It doesn't take long to say that. But that makes you aware that He is with you, that He will never leave you or forsake you is a reality. And it becomes more and more a reality because you are aware, consciously aware, that He is there with you. And if you are consciously aware of the presence of Yeshua with you, I guarantee that it will help you not do things that displease Him. It will keep you out of sin because you know He's standing there watching. And do you want to do things and have Him see you that He doesn't like? Well, come on. He sees you everything. He sees everything anyway. But when you're consciously aware of that, it really affects your behavior and what you do and you don't do. Amen? Well, let me conclude with this. The Holy Spirit, sealed within every believer, is God's precious gift to us. He is our comforter and guide, the very presence of God within us. Let us choose today to neither quench nor grieve Him, but instead to fan into flame the gift of God, as 2 Timothy 1:6 instructs, allowing His divine fire to burn brightly in our lives. As Yeshua promised, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You hear that? This is in John 14:23. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. This divine indwelling comes through God's Holy Spirit, making our bodies temples of the living God. Let us be holy because He is holy, living with reverence and joy, nurturing rather than neglecting this most precious gift of God's presence in our lives. Remember, when we quench or grieve the Spirit, we're not just affecting some impersonal force. We're affecting our relationship with our Lord and Savior, the one true God who loves us and desires to work powerfully in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with grateful hearts for the precious gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for this time in your word, where you've taught us about the importance of honoring your Spirit's presence in our lives. Lord, we acknowledge the times we may have quenched or grieved your Spirit. Forgive us for those moments when we've ignored your gentle promptings, chosen our own path, or suppressed your work in our lives. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Father, we ask for a heightened sensitivity to your Spirit's leading. Help us to recognize your voice more clearly and respond more readily when you speak. May we never take your presence for granted, but cherish this incredible gift of your Spirit dwelling within us. Yeshua, thank you for not leaving us as orphans, but coming to us through your Spirit. Help us to walk in step with your Spirit each day, turning away from the desires of our flesh and embracing your perfect will for our lives. Lord, we ask that you would fan into flame the gift of your Spirit within each of us. Remove anything that would hinder your work in our lives. Make us vessels that honor you, channels through which your Spirit can flow freely to touch others. As we leave this place, may we carry these truths in our hearts. Let our lives demonstrate what it means to live in harmony with your Spirit, bringing glory to your precious name in all that we say and do. In your precious name, Yeshua, we pray. Amen. Well, I sincerely hope you were not only blessed and encouraged by this message, but challenged as well to recognize Holy Spirit in your life and work with Him, not against him, to destroy the works of the enemy and advance the kingdom in your spheres of influence. As you endeavor to bring glory to his name this week, I bless you with shalom in your home.